Good day, listeners, and welcome to another interesting episode of Sport Planet Podcast. As usual, I'm with Mumini Alao.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kayode. It's my pleasure to be here once again to talk about football.
And my name is Kayode Ogundare.
Yeah.
Today, we are in a very, very sober mood. Last week, on the 9th of February, precisely, we lost one of Nigeria's best ever defenders. I'm talking about Yisa Sofoluwe, popularly called Minister of Defense. He died at the unripe age of 53. And he has been variously described by a whole lot of people. I've listened to a whole lot of people, Segun Odegbami, those who played with him, and I knew him personally. We had a sort of personal interaction over the years, and I also have my impressions about him. But what kind of a person do you think he was when he was with us?
Yisa Sofoluwe, the defense minister of defense. People talk about not talking bad about the dead, and it has become a cliche such that when you now talk good about the dead, people don't take you seriously because it's normal. Talk well, to talk nice about the dead.
Yeah.
But in the case of Yisa Sofoluwe, indeed, the only thing that I can say about him is good, going by my own personal interaction with him. Yisa Sofoluwe was a gentleman, was a complete gentleman. In fact, you will find it difficult to associate his tenacity, alright, his strength as a football defender with his behavior outside the pitch. Because he was so meek. You know, he would hardly speak. You know, Yisa Sofoluwe could be in a gathering for 2 hours and he wouldn't say more than 2 words. You know, he was a complete gentleman. He would just be there quietly. You know, and then when he gets to the pitch, you will now see a complete transformation. You know, I think I can also say that his personal character outside the pitch also reflects in his style of play. He wasn't aggressive. He was very calculative, you know. We talk about players with raw power, and we talk about players with intelligence. Yisa Sofoluwe falls in the category of those with intelligence, all right? His small frame, but he will, you know, stop very big and bully defenders. I think, I remember, was it the Nations Cup in 1984 or 1988? I think it was 88 because he was actually at both Nations Cup.
Yes,
first one was 84 in Cote d'Ivoire, and he was also at
Maroc
88. I think he had this confrontation with Roger Miller, and you can imagine Roger Miller. Everybody knows the kind of reputation Roger Miller comes to the pitch with. And I think Nigeria, we played against Cameroon both in 84 and in 88. This episode was in 88. All right. And Yisa Sofoluwe, you know, with his style of, you know, calculative play, and then I saw Roger Miller trying to bully him, you know, and then you could see Yisa responding immediately, that no, you can't bully me here. And I think Nigeria considered a corner kick on that particular episode. So to cut it short, Yisa Sofoluwe was a gentleman, all right? He was a gentleman. I didn't get to meet his family, so I wouldn't know what to say concerning his family and his private life and all this, but I can only base my assessment on my interaction with him, you know, between a footballer and a journalist, and I always found him to be a very, very gentle person.
One thing struck me now with the use of, you said he was calculative. Let me quickly read what Segun Odegbami wrote about him.
Right.
He said, Yisa was a great football artist, one of the most elegant defenders to watch on the football field. He was always cool, calm, and calculative.
Wow.
And from my own personal interaction with him, I can bear witness to everything you've said. He is this kind of person that he talks very little.
Very little.
And he goes about his business on or off the pitch like he wasn't interested. He didn't even want to be there at all. Mm-hmm. But he would do what he's supposed to do at the right time. Mm-hmm. Then there is this other person who played against him severally. He was also teammates with him in the national team, Charles Okonkwo of Rangers. He also said Yisa was a nice guy, which is like the common refrain, and a true gentleman. I never liked playing against Yisa Sofoluwe because he was too smart.
To be honest, I had not read what Odegbami said. I had not read what Charles Okoko said before I made my comment.
Exactly.
And you can see
everybody
saying the same thing about him. About him.
We can't all be wrong about this.
Absolutely,
guy.
Absolutely.
And for me, I spent some time with him. I think we first met like some 13 years ago.
Right.
We maintained the friendship over the period of his lifetime. But I remember our first meeting, I was in Ikoyi at the IGI office where he worked at the time, and we had like 4 hours time to talk and everything, and he covered a lot of ground. He talked about his best game for Nigeria. Right. Which will you consider as the best game before I say what he told me on that day?
Can I pick? To be honest, it's difficult for me to pick because what I remember about Yusuf Olua the most is the fact that he was part of that generation of under 20 players that went to Mexico 83 and made a very big impression. Alright? And because of the performance that he put up in Mexico under 20 World Cup in 83, about 8 of them were drafted to the senior national team, the Super Eagles. Remember, we didn't qualify for the 82 yes. Nations Cup. Yes. So at that time, the national team was virtually disbanded. We didn't have a national team. So they just came in as a whole, and Coach Adegboye Onigbinde was appointed. And it was actually a new beginning for the national team at that time. And Yusuf Olua was part of that new beginning in 84. We eventually qualified for the 84 Nations Cup. And then we finished second to Cameroon.
Yes.
Again in 88, he was there. We finished against Cameroon. Yes. So I think his encounters with Cameroon, those will be my most memorable moments that I can recall about Yusuf. And that's why I recall that incident. Encounter that he had with Jamila.
Incidentally, he chose the 1983 Under 20 World Cup.
Wow, which
yes,
I just recalled.
Which
now.
You just recalled now. Wow. He chose the very first game against USSR.
All right.
That was the first time Nigeria was qualifying for any FIFA World Cup. And they were, before the competition, they had all these normal wranglings between the FA and the players. Mm. He played the central defense with Tajudeen Yusuf because Wahab Adesina was absent. He was injured.
Okay.
The regular central defender was injured. So he had to be drafted into the middle. Issa was not the biggest of players.
No. So
playing in central defense was a stroke of genius. And he said that game was his toughest and his best game for Nigeria.
Unimaginable. Well, if everybody is saying that Issa is smart and calculative, I can imagine that the coach will have seen that since
the
training. And he would have known that, look, even though he was a right foot back, I can easily convert him to center defense. Because when you have a center defender who can think ahead of the striker, he wouldn't have to apply any physical strength
yes.
or any height. Because he's calculative, he can anticipate what's going to happen even before the striker thinks about it. So I wouldn't be surprised that he would have made a mincemeat of his markers on that day. And Nigeria won that game. And as you said, that was our first major international showing
yes.
before the Unduka Ubade set went to the
under 17
in 1985.
And won.
So 83 was actually the first time that Nigeria showcased our football on the international stage. And Yusuf Olua was part of that historic team.
In closing now, we've said this over and over again. Do you think there should be something that the FA should do for retired players, or you think they hand their bonuses and allowances when they were playing, so it's every man for himself post-retirement?
Well, I think we can take example from what happens in some other places, whereby even club sides, not just even the national team, even club sides, they have arrangements for their players whereby they set aside part of their earnings for them. Okay, I remember Daniel Amokachi telling me about the experience in Belgium whereby statutorily part of their salaries were set aside, all right, for their retirement time. Okay, so the NFF can actually implement such a program for national team players whereby, alright, your bonus is $5,000, but you know what? We'll take 10% and set it aside
for you
when you retire. You know, we'll have invested it on your behalf. Mm. You can come and make this collection. I think that if I don't see the players themselves being against such a program.
Nobody should be against it.
But of course, it's up to the LFF to make the proposal first and foremost. and then for the players to consider it. But I think that would be a good way to go. Yes, people have this argument that look, the players have earned so much while they are playing, so they should have been setting things aside for themselves. It's a valid argument, you know, because they are professional footballers, just like you have professional journalists, lawyers, engineers, etc. So if a government is not making provisions for all these other professionals, what's the difference for the footballers if they are not working in government service? So, but I think in terms of what the NFF can do as a proposal, that will not be a bad idea if the proposals of the players and the players accept the proposal. But for those who have already retired, well, I think it's too late to do that.
It's too late.
So it's just they can only rely on the goodwill of Nigerians, like we've seen in the case of Christian Chukwu in recent times when he was ill and a few other players like that. It's unfortunate, but that's a sad reality.
Well, me, Isasu will always so rest in perfect peace.
Amen.
We have come to the end of today's program. You can listen to this and previous episodes when you click on nigersuperfans.com/podcast. See you next week. Thank you.